الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The brother today was speaking about 10 days. 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Maybe some of you are familiar with them. If you've been a Muslim for 2-3 years or more, you know them. If this is your first year or second year, you probably don't know them. What are the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah? Now we are in the month of Dhul Qa'dah. Islam has a different calendar than the non-Muslims. Okay, the non-Muslims have January, February, March, April, May, Batiq, and or Yanayir, Febrayer, ila akhirih, depending on the country. They have different calendars. In Islam, we have a lunar calendar, and every month has a name. Safar, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal. Wa alaykum salam. You know them. So now we are what? The 27th of Dhul Qa'dah or something along these lines. The 28th of Dhul Qa'dah or the 27th, depending on the moon sighting. And in a couple of days, we will enter upon Dhul Hijjah. In 2 days or 3 days, either actually 1 day or 2 days, will be in Dhul Hijjah. Yes, and Dhul Hijjah is the month where Hajj is performed, where the Hujjaj come and perform Hajj. Now, there are virtues for these 10 days. Some of you know Surah Al-Fajr. Wal-Fajr wa layalin ash. Many of the scholars interpreted the swearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the 10 nights as the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Okay, so Allah swore by them in the Quran. If Allah swears by something, then that something is great. And know that... Know that Allah swears with whatever He wants, but we don't swear except by Allah. Pay attention with me. Allah swears with whatever He wants of His creation, but we don't swear except by Allah. We only say, I swear by Allah. In Arabic, Wallah. They only say, Wahyati. Some of the people say, Wahyati, Wahyatak, by my life, by your life, by your mother, by my mother. They swear by creation. The Prophet ﷺ said, whomever swears by other than Allah has committed either associated upon a shirk or kufr. Okay, not the one that will take you outside of Islam, but a minor form of it. Either way, you cannot swear by anyone but Allah. But Allah in the Quran swears by His creation. Wal-Fajr, and by the time of Fajr. Wal-Asr, by the time passage. Right? Wal-Shamsi wal-Qamar, by the sun and the moon. Allah swears whatever He wills, we only swear by Allah. Everybody understand that? So these, ya akhwan, these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, it comes in a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there are no 10 days more beloved to Allah, more beloved to Allah in good deeds than these 10 days. Yani throughout the whole year, the 350 something days, these 10 days that we are about to come upon, these 10 days that we are about to come upon are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved, period. So the good deeds that we perform in these next few days, in the beginning of these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, is a great opportunity for us to gain many rewards. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the good deeds that we perform in these particular 10 days. So the Shaykh mentioned that there are many things that you could do in these 10 days to get closer to Allah. First, Hajj or Umrah for the people who will be doing Hajj or Umrah. And this is among the greatest acts. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, continue, follow up each Umrah with another Umrah. Because the sins between the Umrah and the Umrah are forgiven. Don't look at the brother, don't worry about him. He's just a Saudi man. Stay with me here. The time or the sins you commit between Umrah to Umrah are forgiven upon the establishment of the second Umrah. Yani you have Umrah in January, طيب, then you do some minor sins for 5 months. Of course not, you know, while feeling bad. Then you do Umrah again, all the sins, the minor sins you committed between these two Umrahs are forgiven. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the reward of an acceptable Hajj is nothing but Jannah. If Allah accepts your Hajj, the only reward you can be given is Jannah, paradise. which is the ultimate goal that we are all aiming for. So, if you are able to do Hajj or Umrah during this month, then Alhamdulillah. If you're unable to do so, don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given those who are unable to do Hajj many other opportunities to make up for that. One of them is fasting. It is highly recommended and prescribed to fast during the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Highly recommended to fast the whole 10 days if you're able to do so. Or as much as you can. Particularly the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah. And everybody knows the day of Arafah. When you know that the Hujjaj will be standing on Arafah on that day, this is the day. That day, if you fasted, the Prophet ﷺ said, I have hope with Allah that fasting on that day will forgive all the sins of the past year and the year that will come. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Now of course, a Muslim is intelligent, not dumb. Some people really have a misconception about things. They say, okay, so basically I could sin. I could sin freely, yalla, do whatever I want, and I fast on the day of Arafah, no problem. Last year is gone, and I have one more year to sin. This is somebody who they call feeble-minded. Yeah, he has the mind of a little bird, tweety bird, doesn't function properly. No such thing, man. You don't play games with Allah. You don't say, well, I'm going to sin for 2 years, and I did fast on the day of Arafah, then khalas, everything's going to go. You're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made it forbidden for you to sin. We have to prevent ourselves from sinning. We will fall into sin because of weakness. That's another story. Then comes the mercy of Allah, where He gives us opportunities. If we do some acts of worship, we will have our sins forgiven. But in our mind, we don't be doing deliberately. You know, you sin on purpose, and you think that, khalas, once I fast one day, then I'm going to be fine. Because no one knows whether your fasting will be accepted. Do you have any guarantees that if you fast on the day of Arafah that Allah will accept your fasting?
No.
Has anyone ever received the receipt?
No.
No. Deed is accepted, congratulations. Oh, Allahu Akbar. Put it in pocket or for the taxes at the end of the year. None of that stuff, man. We don't know whether the deed is accepted. So based on what are you sinning for 2 years and thinking if you fast on Arafah your sins are going to be forgiven? What if Allah doesn't accept your fasting? Then you came with empty-handed, actually you have sins on your back. So we don't play these games. I'm sure everybody understands this before I told you, but I'm just elaborating just in case someone had a misconception. So fasting the day of Arafah is fundamental. It's not an obligation. Meaning if you don't do it, you're not sinful. But if you don't do it, you are missing out on a great opportunity and a great opportunity for reward. So the intelligent persons look at the situation, say 1 day, 2 years, It's worth it. Unless you're unable because you're sick or you're traveling, whatever. This is the second thing. First, do a Hajj or Umrah, if you're able to do so. Either in or out, ya Shaykh. In or out. Dr. Salam, I like that. In. Stay in. You, sir, in or out? Out. Good. So, first you do Hajj or Umrah if you're able to do so. Second, you fast the day of Arafah if you're not doing Hajj. For you brothers who will do Hajj, how many are doing Hajj inshallah this year? MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. No fasting on Arafah for us. For you. I'm sorry. No fasting on Arafah, on the day of Arafah for the Hujjaj. This is only for the people who don't go for Hajj. Tayyib? So, but believe me, the reward of Hajj exceeds all that. Because if your Hajj is accepted, according to one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, you'll be like the day your mother gave birth to you. Not 2 years of sins forgiven, nothing. All your life. So not fasting on that day doesn't mean you're missing out. You're doing Hajj, this is a whole other act of worship that is very pleasing to Allah. Thirdly, sayyid. Any more something like this, I will get some water and pour it on your heads. They're fighting in the lecture, man. Thirdly, Baris, I'm just giving you a hard time. Why don't you hate each other now? Come sit over here. Come. He's about to kill him, but he looked at him like this. Manus Habibi, you should love him for the sake of Allah. Thirdly, remembering Allah. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that there are a special virtue in the remembrance of Allah in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Now the Shaykh mentioned there's two kinds of dhikr. There's the mutlaq, which is the unconditional. It's general. Which is saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, from the beginning of Dhul Hijjah until the end of the days of Tashriq. And then there's a, yes, and then there's a, and there's a conditional one. This is in the days of Tashriq after the obligatory salah. You will see him in the masjid. When the imam finishes, they will say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Huh? You've heard it before? So there's the one that is general throughout the day, and there's one, ma'alish, no speaking. And there's one that is specific after the salawat at the days of Tashriq, which is at the end of the Hajj season and Eid, during the days of Eid, when Eid begins. طيب. This is the third thing that the Shaykh mentioned. Anybody remembers the fourth one? Ali?
No.
No, yeah, Ali?
I don't remember.
You were right under the Imam Ali. You heard him the best.
That was the...
He said the days, hold on. Doing Hajj Umrah, fasting if you're able to do so, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sabakano. Allahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Nonetheless, I always do this. You just get used to me by now. You cannot remember everything a person says for the sake of Allah. Basically, these 10 days that we're coming upon are special days. Yes, the Shaykh, he didn't, I don't remember the fourth one, but he gave a general advice after he sat down and got up again, that do not be among the losers. Do not be among the losers. This is an opportunity. La wallah. But that's a good point. But he didn't touch upon Salat al-Eid at all. But it's maybe something that has to do with Eid. Yes, Allahu Akbar alayk. Sacrificing an animal. Al-Udhiya. Aywa. Alhamdulillah. Good, good. So,
Al-Udhiya.
Huh?
Al-Udhiya. This is the book. Yeah.
This is what?
The
book. Yes. Man, it's not a man. I know. I'm just trying to get them. Everybody knows that you didn't even know it. Listen, man. Sacrificing an animal. Now, this is a sunnah. Actually, there's a difference of opinion. I'm not going to touch about the obligation or not. But basically, these things are usually depending on ability. If you have some money, akhi, and you're able to sacrifice an animal for the sake of Allah on Eid, this is something that is extremely highly recommended. Unless you have no money, then Allah won't give you more than you can handle. You can, if it's a cow, well, it will wind up costing the same money. Either way, the advisable is to slaughter an animal, preferably a sheep. And if you're unable, you get on a cow. Seven people can get on one cow. But if you really calculate it, the portion that you will pay for the seventh of the cow will be equal to you slaughtering a sheep on your own. So basically, you're in the same thing. You either have money or you don't have money. If you have money, slaughter an animal on the day of Eid. If you intend on slaughtering an animal, if you intend on slaughtering an animal for the sake of Allah, from the time of Dhul Hijjah, from the beginning of Dhul Hijjah, you are no longer allowed to cut your nails or cut your hair. And I hope nobody shaves his legs. You can't be shaving your legs either. I know this is for the sisters. But any hair, you can't remove. Even the different hairs that we have, that we are supposed to remove. No more. From if you intend on sacrificing. Now, a man may sacrifice on behalf of his family. One animal on behalf of you and your family. They don't have to stop cutting their nails and hair. So if you're doing it on your wife and your children, okay, assuming they're Muslims. If they're not Muslims, forget about it. If they're Muslims, you're doing it on their behalf, you're the only one. The one who will be paying. The one who will be taking care of business. You stop cutting your nails and your hair. They could do whatever they want. Although they will be included in the sacrifice because you're doing it on their behalf. If you're not going to slaughter an animal, you could do whatever you want. So this is the condition that the Prophet ﷺ have stipulated for those who intend on sacrificing an animal. That's why it is highly recommended that we are already 2 days away from Dhul Hijjah. If you have long hair or some long nails, make sure you get rid of them soon. Otherwise you're going to be in towards the middle of Dhul Hijjah with nails like this. And people are going to run away from you. So be ready. So you can go for 10 days or whatever number of days without having extremely long nail or hair. If you have some hair that you need to get rid of. This is for the person who will sacrifice an animal. For the person who is unable to, then there's no restriction. Some people have a misconception. They're not going to sacrifice an animal and they still stop cutting their nails and their hair. And this is something that shouldn't be done. Because this is only conditional for the person who will be sacrificing an animal.
The price now for a lamb is
390. MashaAllah, you have... That's good.
How about the one who does go in Hajj? He can make sacrifice?
Yes. Yes. No, the sacrifice of Eid has nothing to do with the Hujjaj. I mean, the Hujjaj will do their Hajj. The Hujjaj have their own thing over there. You who are not going to Hajj, you can sacrifice an animal on Eid. Why is it called Eid? Yes, it's called Eidul Adha. Adha from Udhiyah. Udhiyah is sacrifice. It's called the Eid of sacrifice. The holiday of sacrifice. And who knows the origin of this? Ibrahim alayhi salam. Abraham. He was supposed to slaughter his son Ishmael. And he put him on the thing and he was ready. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. And Allah called to him, "Oh Ibrahim, you have made the vision true." Because he had seen in his dream that he's going to slaughter his son. He told him, "I'm going to slaughter you." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forsake Ishmael. And he advised him and he legislated for him to sacrifice an animal instead of his son. And this was a test to see whether he would choose the love of Allah over his own son. But Allah is merciful. The objective was only to test him about his true faith, not for him to lose his son. That's why his son was forsaken and he wasn't slaughtered and an animal was given instead. We Muslims are the followers of Ibrahim. Not the Jews and the Christians who claim that he was a Jew or a Christian. The Muslims are the people who follow Ibrahim the most, alayhi salatu salam. He built the Kaaba with his son Ishmael. We go to the Kaaba and we perform our salah over there. There's a place called Maqam Ibrahim. The standing position of Ibrahim where he prayed. So we go pray behind there. All of the acts of worship that we do in Hajj have to do with the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and his wife and his son, the Zamzam and what have you. Major connection. And we the Muslims are the only one who are in reality following the prophets and messengers. And everybody else just talks too much. They say that they're following them, then they worship others with Allah. And Ibrahim never associated no partners with Allah. So this is more or less what the Shaykh was mentioning. So brothers, I remind myself and you, don't let the shaitan twist your arm and have you work for him. And he gets you busy on these 10 days watching TV and checking out services in the internet looking for nonsense. Rather, you should abandon these things and utilize your time by remembering Allah, giving sadaqah, praying, fasting, do something that will help you in the hereafter. Something that would be rewarding in the hereafter. These 10 days that we're coming upon are very beloved to Allah. Very beloved to Allah. So it doesn't make sense that we ignore them and live our life like they're every other day. The same way in Ramadan, you don't live the same life like every other day. In these 10 days, it's not the same. And this is a bounty from Allah to us. He gave us the opportunity to fix some of the problems that we may be committing through the year. To have some of our sins forgiven and to increase our status with Him, inshaAllah. Wallahu ta'ala alam.
The parent of this Udhiyah, this is to sacrifice animal.
Yes.
To those non-Hajjis, right?
To
non-Hajjis. Non-Hajjis.
Yes.
Because the Hajj is the Hajj, right?
Yes.
Just to be clarification.
Yes, yes. You have mentioned that the Hujjaj have their own sacrifice depending on the kind of Hajj that they're doing. The one who doesn't do Hajj, this is the one who does the regular sacrifice. Now of course it is advised that you slaughter the animal yourself. You yourself, if you want to gain the best reward and the best virtue, you go choose the animal. And don't get a busted one with a broken leg, because this is unacceptable. You get the nicest, fattest one. Because you're given this as a gift, in essence, to Allah. So you be stingy. Yeah, if you had a girlfriend, you get her the nicest watch in the store because she's your girlfriend. Huh? Because this is a sign of love.
Buy her a diamond, not a watch.
Ah, yeah, diamond. You don't get a fool in Tamiz. Tell her, "I love you very much, this is some fool in Tamiz." Huh? You get her something fancy. Now, of course, Allah has the highest example, the objective here. Some people become cheap, trying to look for the cheapest animal at the time of sacrifice. Don't do that, ya akhi. Allah is the one who gave you the money to begin with, so utilize it. And it's advised that you slaughter the animal yourself. and you say Bismillah, Wallahu Akbar, and you slit the throat and you let the blood flow, and then you clean it, cut it up and what have you, and then you eat some, you feed some, and you distribute some on the poor Muslims. You invite people to your house, you cook some. This is one third. Scholars divided it like this, although there's no text, يعني, but customs or something. One third you keep for your freezer. One third you cook and you invite the people, and one third you distribute among the poor Muslims. Yeah, you know, you get, give them a pound or kilo of lahm, whatever, what have you. Anyway.
Sheikh, how about what we are doing, which is the stub? We are using as a stub.
What about the coupon?
Coupon for
meaning somebody.
Are we sure that the one they feed it to the people is 100%?
Well, you can almost never guarantee these things. But if you have no other choice, then this is better than nothing. That's why I'm saying the advice thing is that you handle business on your own. So you can make sure that it's done on time, given on time to the people who deserve it. But you may not be able to do so. So don't leave it altogether. Islamically it is permissible to have wikala, meaning you give someone the authority to handle things on your behalf. I could give you my money and allow you to deal with it, and I give you the wakala, the authority to handle it. So this is something Islamically present. Actually the Prophet ﷺ, he told Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, Ali radiallahu anhu, to sacrifice on his behalf. So this is Islamically permissible to assign someone to do your job. But the best one is that you do it on your own. If you are unable to coupon or something along these lines, but choose the khayri, yani the organization that is known for being upright and for, yani for having a good reputation among the people, not someone that just comes out of nowhere. And as soon as they put you the pictures of excuse me, I'm going to have to go there. I'm not going to go there. If they put some images that indicate that the person who's in the images against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, leave them alone. So sometimes you can tell from the advertisement where this company stands. And so some people are very keen on following the Quran and the Sunnah, some people could care less. When you see a company being wishy-washy like this, say, Salaamu Alaikum, I won't give you none of my money. Because you'd be helping them indirectly continue their corruption. So only put it to people who you trust and you think that these are from the Sunnah.
You know, this is possibility now to buy a ticket for sacrificing.
That's the coupon, no? Isn't that the coupon? Yeah, that's the one they were saying.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's there for the roof. I don't know.
Because it's
different color.
I don't know about any of this stuff.
The different color is the
Tamattu is the one where you do a hajj, then you do you get out of ihram. Yes, you do need shakr. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, of course. Barakallah feek. Fasting on Eid is prohibited. Haram. Because the day of Eid is the day of eating and drinking and remembering Allah. So you can't be that biased where you're fasting on the day of Eid and everybody else having a good time. Jazakallah khairan. So, but they usually say fasting يعني, from the 10 days, not including Eid. يعني, it's given that the Eid, you don't fast on Eid. This is the day where you celebrate.
How many days? 9 days. 3 days or 2 days? For the 8 days.
How many days are Eid?
Yes. 2 or 3 days. After you.
That was up to you. Oh, ya salam. Yeah, custom made Islam, huh? Wallahi, I don't know.
Ayyam al-Tashriq,
but see, it's called fi. Mutalib Ashar. Aywa. 4 days. 4 days.
So within the 4 days, you cannot fast?
No.
It's specified.
No, but we have to double check. Because they may be that the first day of Eid is a day of sacrifice, and this is where you don't fast.
The
other days, it might be, I don't know, so I'm not going to tell you your name, but at the least we can say the first day of Eid, don't fast. But as for the other 3 days, they may be included, but the fasting doesn't apply, Allahu A'lam. I don't know. Because the day of Eid, I mean, because see, the problem is, the culture has mixed in with the religion. So in countries they say, okay, the Eid al-Fitr they give you 3 days off, and Eid al-Adha they give you 4 days off. So now you really don't know whether this is part of the legislation or just what the people have taken as Eid. So it may be Eid al-Fitr is 1 day, one day only, but they give you 3 days off. So you think that the ruling applies to the 3 days, but it's only the first day. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I'm one of the victims of these things for this one. Yes, but inshallah maybe I'll find out for you, and we'll you know, somehow give you the information next week, inshallah.
If we need for water,
yes. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.